How many brought your Bible? Raise your Bible up. Let me see them. I want you to always get used to bringing your Bible. I've told people this. I know the technology of churches, or they put them up here on the screen, and I'm not against it. But the Lord, as of now, He could change it, of course. Always make sure I say that, because I'm not going to put Him in a box. But as of now, the Lord says, no, you make sure they are taught to bring their word. And because what happens, and you'll see it at lots of churches, is when it's up there on the screen, then people say, well, I don't need to take my Bible to church. I got it right up there. No, I want you to get used to bringing that word. It'll save your life. It's your sword. It's your protection. It's your everything. It's your manual. You remember when the man, I've told this story before, but the man walked down to the front of the church in San Antonio, Brother Osteen's church, or Hagee's church, and he had a gun, point blank, it like from me to you, and said, preacher, I'm going to kill you. Well, I always say it kind of like this. This is on national television, y'all. Think back, way back, right as he was beginning, they still had 4,000 people in attendance. Now, they're the largest church in San Antonio. And the man walks down, and Pastor Hagee had no time. I've met his son. I've never met him, though. But he had no time to hide, to run. The man was point blank, I'm going to kill you, preacher. On national television, Mr. Hagee said, no, you're not, because this is my shield. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I pray Psalms 91 over me. And that guy on national television shot everything in his gun. Bam, bam. And not one thing hit the man. Wonder why. There's something about your sword. You're carrying this Bible as a believer so that if I accidentally say something wrong in it, you'll know it. Now, don't say anything. Just understand it was a mistake. Don't get up and get out of order. A friend of mine sent me a text, and he said, hey, I want you, and he just sent me this scripture, and that's all I'll say. And it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want you to turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I really loved it when he sent it, and I appreciated it, and it meant a lot to me because I've preached on it many times. It's a very familiar set of scriptures. Again, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Most of you know probably what scripture to immediately go to. You ready? Say amen if you're at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If you're still looking, and I see some people still looking, then I'll wait on you. Are you there, Kenny? Okay. Are y'all there? Look at verse 14. If, now look at me real fast. That's a pretty big word right there to me. If. It's kind of like a but. You know, when they put, a lot of people use the but in a negative sense. You know, I'm blessed, but I'm being attacked. So the word starts out in 14, if, and then he declares this to us, my people. Well, my people are obviously his believers. It's not talking about anybody else but the people that believe in him. He says, if my people, in order to be one of God's, according to the word all through this Bible, is Jesus has to be the Lord of your life. If he's the Lord of your life, and now I know we're talking in Old Testament right here, but we're a New Testament church that we're just learning from the Old Testament, knowing that Matthew on to Revelations is the New Testament church. So in order to be God's people, then Jesus, the Son of God, remember John 4, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, say it with me, that he gave, by the way, that's part of seed. He sowed something. that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him is not going to perish, right? Have an everlasting, eternal life. You're his people. All right, now look, if my people who are called by my name, every one of you are called. I want you to know that. You may not be called in the fivefold to be a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist or a prophet or an apostle, but every one of you are called. You've got to get that in your mind, because a lot of people, they just don't understand. They put the helmet of salvation because they don't want to burn up in hell. They want to go to the place called heaven, so they get the helmet of salvation on because they give their lives to Jesus, and then the rest of the body is naked. We got to put on the whole armor, as we know the Bible says, right? But we're all called to be a witness, as Acts chapter 1 talks about, a witness of the Lord Jesus in the uttermost parts of the world. And I don't know about you, but the United States or your state, which is Texas for all of us, hopefully, if not, you're visiting, or your city, your county, you're called to be a witness here, just like anywhere else if you have influence. So it's saying again, if my people who are called by my name, then it gives us a command, right? We'll humble ourselves. Now listen to me. I've been preaching this for 30 years. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say God humbles you. I hear that all the time. Brother, God will humble you. You know what it really says? Humble yourself. In other words, when people say God will humble you, and I'm not talking about there's not correction, because there's correction in this word, praise God. But mainly when people use that phrase of God will humble you, God gets the blame for something bad, or you get knocked over the head with the Bible, or God drops you to the ground, or God puts cancer on you, or God causes you to go through a trial and tribulation, and he gets the blame for it. When really, even though we go through the trials and tribulations, God's given us the word to escape all those things, you see. It's not God putting anything on you. It's God's giving you a way to escape what the enemy put on you. Remember, God's good, the devil's bad. Say that with me. God's good, the devil is. You'll understand the Bible if you just understand that right there. God is good. He is for you and not against you. He's giving you, as we talked about in an offering message, he's giving you the keys to his kingdom. And it's all here in the Word of God. It's all Jesus, by the way, who become the Word. You see. Okay. Now, let's finish reading this, because then I'm going to show you some traps set for believers. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, you humble yourself. God's not going to humble you, right? Humble yourself, themselves. Pray. How many know prayer is an important part of being a believer? Thank God for our prayer warriors who, you know, they meet here what time? 9 o'clock. If you have this urgency to pray, it doesn't matter how much you know, but you just have this desire to pray, you need to be a part of our team. We need you, actually. They're praying for me, and they're praying for you, and they're praying for our country. I mean, we've got a pretty major divided country that needs prayer. Have y'all not been watching the news? Political season. Won't have to get a president and vote for him. By the way, I'm not afraid to say up here who I vote for. But if you want me to tell you, just come to me after. I'll let you know. I'll let you know what his name is. Okay, look. Did y'all catch it? You, Mama, you was late, girl. You're like 10 seconds late. But anyway, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek. So we got to pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. Guess what God says he'll do? I'll hear from heaven, right? Wow. I'll hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. Man, we need that today. But let me tell you how the Lord showed me to kind of go towards this message, kind of the direction. And this is the title of it, by the way. Traps Set for Believers. Now, let me help you understand. The enemy doesn't show favoritism. And I've taught this, said it plenty of times, but get a hold of it. The enemy does not show favoritism on a believer and a non-believer. The devil hates the non-believer just as much as he hates the believer. So a lot of times people will go, oh, there might be a blessing coming my way because I'm being attacked. Wrong thinking, y'all. It's a wrong thinking because the devil's going to attack you no matter what because you're a believer. Because you're a non-believer, because that's the devil's nature, is to steal, kill, destroy. So just because someone's going through a tough time doesn't mean that there's the blessing on the other side because of what you're going through. No, actually, the blessing's always there. You just got to know, you got to know how to handle the attack. You got to not give the devil so much credit, trying to steal, kill, and destroy you, trying to make things happen badly in your life. Why don't you tell that devil to get back under your feet where he belongs? Take a little bit of authority and start using the name that's above every name. And know that the blessing of God, God's not withholding the blessing. He's just, he has it right there. But you can turn away from the blessing. Usually it comes from the mouth. The mouth starts speaking doubt, fear, unbelief, everything that is against our God. And God's saying, hey, come on, humble yourself. Turn from that wicked way. Get your mouth in line. Because if you do, what does it say? I'm going to hear from heaven. I don't know about y'all, but we need to hear from heaven because anything that comes from heaven is right. Then he says, I'll forgive your sin. Now, thank God your sin's already forgiven, actually, because of what Jesus did. He died. He was crucified, raised from the dead so that there can be the blood covers a multitude of sin. So he shed where you're already forgiven. All you got to do is receive it. All you got to do is confess. Everybody gets hung up on, well, if we're already forgiven, why do we got to confess it? Well, because there's something about, you know, you saying, hey, God, I know you know what I did already, but I acknowledge it, sir. I want to turn from that wicked way. And I ask you to forgive me. I apologize. And how many of you know that we go to him a lot for the same thing? Remember that song, It's Me Again, Margaret? Lord, I did it again. I'm sorry. Help me, sir. Give me wisdom, James 1. Give me wisdom on how to defeat this one thing that I keep going back to over. A lot of times it's addictions in a lot of people's lives that they're just such a hold, you see. But more, you get a hold of this message, if you'll start humbling yourself, if you'll start seeking God's face, if you'll start praying, you turn from that wicked way and you say addiction, you don't have dominion over me. You turn from that, what happens? God hears from heaven. And when he hears from heaven, he's saying, hey, oh, the blessing of God is on that woman right there, Gretchen. And she's a blessed woman to be married to Justin. And Justin is That kind of sounded bad, didn't it? And Justin is a blessed man being married to Gretchen. But see, when you hear from heaven, man, God just opens the doors of heaven. And he says, hey, let me pour out the blessing. Let me impart the wisdom to you. Okay? Now, here's the direction I want to go real fast. We have 30 minutes to do it. Y'all watch the clock in the back, okay? Turn around, look at it. See, do y'all see it back there? It's huge. I can't mess this up. There's traps that are set for, let's say, believers right now. But again, I've already preferenced this. God doesn't show favoritism, neither does the devil. But I'm talking to believers right now. If you're not a believer of Jesus, you will be. We're going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service. By the way, did y'all hear Vacation Bible School had 19 kids saved? Oh, I'm telling you, they told me the first night there were 10 or 12, and I'm like, man, praise God, because I gave my heart to Jesus. Matter of fact, I got filled with the Holy Ghost at a camp in a church, praise the Lord. And so I love Vacation Bible School. It impacts people's lives. All right, listen. There's traps, and I want to give you four traps that believers get into. And listen to me. The first one is a very obvious one. I'm going to tell you four traps that the enemy sets to try to get you in and get you off of the call of God, off of the blessing of God, off of the direction of God, off of the perfect will of God, not submissive will, perfect will. Because I want God's perfect will for my life, and I want God's perfect will for your life. So as the pastor of this church, that's what I want for the flock, you see. Now, my family ranched in Fort Stockton, Texas. Rims. I mean, the rim rocks are, gosh, they'll be 20, 30 foot. And you can't get up to the top because of the rim rock. And if you ever driven down I-10, you'll see a lot of times in those hills, they're not mountains, they're hills. Rims that go around that. And that's just where we were raised. Well, in that country, promotes lots of varmints. I mean, there is varmints everywhere. Bobcats, coons, ringtail coons, foxes, you name it, coyotes, etc. And there's lots of them. Well, as a high school kid at the time, just really in college, we would set traps. You'd sometimes catch skunks, by the way. But you had to set this trap, and if there was any scent of a human, especially a bobcat, they wouldn't come to this trap. And you had to get good at putting a trap, sprinkling a little dust, dirt over it, to where if that animal stepped on that trap, they'd get caught. And I mean, I got good at getting my scent off of that area so that it would attract the varmint. And then, I mean, I would catch bobcats. I'd catch everything. And then, of course, in those days, you could sell them. A good tom bobcat weighing about 120 pounds or so, which is big in that country, would probably bring in that day, that was probably the 80s and 90s, they would bring probably $150. So you wanted to catch the bobcat. The raccoons would bring $30. The foxes would bring $30. The ringtails would bring $25. So I needed to set those traps, right, perfectly so that my scent was gone, and then we would put a scent that they were attracted to catch those varmints. And boy, I got good. And listen to me, you had to go and check those traps first thing every morning. If you caught a bobcat and you didn't check it, they would eat their leg off to get away. So you wanted to check them and make sure those traps were set just right to catch your prey. And we wanted to catch all those things because, especially coyotes and the bigger type dogs, I mean, they would try to take out your cattle or sheep and goats. And that's what you raise in that country is primarily sheep and goats. Angora goats with long hair. And so they can get hung up on a mesquite tree and get nabbed by a predator. I'm talking about traps. We had to do some traps. So I know traps. And here we're talking about traps that the devil sets before believers. And here's the first major trap. And you know what it is? Write this down. Offense. Look at me. Did you hear me? Offense. Oh, my Lord. People get offended at everything. Let me tell you something. If you text me and I text you back, you better praise God, because I'm not a texter. I've never been a texter. But if I text you, you probably mean a little bit to me. I'll text back my wife and my children and et cetera. Normally, if you don't see a response from a text, there's a reason. Doesn't have anything to do with you as a person, but I'm just not a big texter. Because what you text can be taken wrong. You cannot communicate. Let me tell you one. My daughter is 22. A boy and her communicate, guess how? There's some other things like snapping. I don't even know what snapping is. But anyway, she told me about guys and girls breaking up over a text. Can you believe that, brother? Don't do that. Call them on the phone and say, hey, because you can hear the tone of their voice when you call them and communicate. So, I mean, life has changed, y'all. They're breaking up over a text. I said, wow. How things are crazy now. Well, guess what? A text will do, if you're not careful, cause offense. And if you're an offended type person, you live in that. Well, it's a trap of the enemy to keep someone offended. You know what offense does? It makes you meditate on the bad thing instead of meditating on the Word of God day and night. Offense, ladies and gentlemen, is a killer. But let me tell you one thing that overcomes offense. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians real fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because you got to get a hold of it. Here's the trap of the enemy. He's trying to trap the believer by offense. Someone did you wrong. Someone said something you didn't like. And by golly, you're offended. Now, don't forget that we just read 2 Chronicles that said, if you'll humble yourself, pray, turn from your wicked ways, and all the rest of the passage, then God hears from heaven. He'll forgive your sin. Heal your land. We need our land healed. Why? Because everybody is tempted with the trap of offense. And we've got to not allow offense to come into our lives. But here's the only thing that can keep us, that can overcome that spirit, and that's what it is, y'all. It's a demonic spirit that gets on people called offense. And there's one thing that overcomes it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 says, love, wow, love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity or sin, but rejoices in the truth. Look at verse 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. In other words, love is characterized by an ability to bear with one another. We've got to start getting a hold of that, y'all. We don't have to be offended over every little thing, because if you perfect your love, and this is going to deal with another a trap, but if you perfect your love, and I'm not talking about an old perverted love of the enemy, I'm talking about God's agape love. If you perfect God's agape love, there's nothing someone can say to you that'll cause offense. I mean, I just love the Lord. I just don't walk in offense. Here's the second. I was going to tell you a funny story, but I don't have time. About offense. But hey, love. Love is characterized by the ability to bear with one another. Here's the second trap that is set by the enemy for believers. Number two, being stagnant. Wow. You know what stagnation is just being in one place and not moving. You ever seen water that it's not moving? Guess what it does? It starts to stink. Well, believers get stagnant a lot. They get tired, they get into the flesh, and they're just give out with the cares of the world, and it overcomes in their spiritual life, and they just get stagnant. Yeah, they're born again, going to heaven if they leave this earth. They've got that helmet on, but they just are stagnant. There's no movement. They don't have an urgency to even read the Bible. Well, if that's you, we've got to get that spirit of stagnation off of you. Because there's something about James chapter 1 and verse 2 that declares us to be doers of the word. We can't just be a hearer only, because when you're a hearer only and you don't do it, you deceive yourself. We've got to be doers of this word. Why? Because we're believers in Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? You and I are believers in Jesus Christ. We're set apart. We're an heir of God. We're a joint heir with Jesus. We are someone in Christ, not without Him, but with Him, we are someone. Praise the Lord. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. I mean, that's what we really are as believers, but yet some people, because of offense, because the devil attacks through a trial, through a tribulation, through a sickness, through this or that, we get stagnant, and when we get stagnant again, we start stinking because there's no movement. And God's constantly saying, no, no, you've got to get to moving, boy. Girl, come on, you can do it. Don't lie down in that pity of all the stuff that's gone on in your life, because it's only designed to keep you down. But man, when the woman of God gets up and starts saying, you know what, I've had enough of that devil. I've had enough of him trying to steal, kill, and destroy. I have Jesus. I have the name that's above every name. I have the authority to use that name. I am again an heir of God in a joint. You see, when that faith rises up and you start speaking different, you start being doers of the word. When something bad happens to you guys, then you got to get your mouth in line. I preach messages about stinking thinking, because usually if you start thinking badly, it comes out your mouth. Yes, things do happen in life. But if you get your mouth in line with the bad that's happening, is why you stay in the rut forever and ever, and you just keep digging. Remember, the best thing you can do when you're in a hole or a rut is quit digging. Because you dig and you just keep going down further and further. No, 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 no. If you'll start speaking the word of God, start being a doer of the word of God, start declaring the word of God, that's why we need our Bibles. You start declaring, no, I can do all things through Christ because He strengthens me. The enemy's trying to steal my strength and my joy, but Nehemiah says, no, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We've got to start speaking this stuff. Because if not, all the bad things that are happening to your finances or this or that or even your health, man, they'll just stay on you for a long period of time. But man, when you start speaking this word, you start being a doer of it, you're not stagnant anymore. Because stagnation is a trap to keep people, to just cause them to stay in that miry muck. God wants you to be delivered from that stuff. He wants you to know you can do it. Come on, get your faith up. I know we see a lot of junk out there in that world. But we're not moved by what we see, y'all. We're not moved by what we hear. We're not moved by what we taste or touch or smell. Those are the five physical senses. You know what a believer is moved by? Say it loudly. The word. Don't be afraid to say the word. So let's do, let me, y'all thought that was a trap, didn't you? We're not moved by our five physical senses as a believer of God. What are we moved by? The word of God. And that's it. By golly, if it says I'm the head, not the tail, then I've got to believe what the word of God says. That's why I don't have the disease called Crohn's that the doctor told me I had. He said, it's a fact, son, you got a disease called Crohn's. I had stomach problems for 7 years, man. I was 130 pounds, wasn't I? Little old guy. Now I'm a whopping 175. Sometimes 180. Doctor said, you got Crohn's. Took out 16 inches of intestine. A little bit of the colon. Said, son, you're going to have to take medicine for the rest of your life. And y'all know the story. I said, no thank you. I had enough of the Bible in me. I was raised in the ministry. Thank God they spoke this word to me. I said, no thank you. Doctor said it again, you got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it is manageable. We can help you manage it. If not, they'll just take out more intestines and you'll die. I said, no, thank you. It was the fact that I had the disease. It was the fact, but it was not the truth. It wasn't the truth. The truth is I'm healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus. But you've got to constantly speak the word. And be a doer of it. And as y'all know, I've never taken one pill. That's been 25 plus years ago, maybe 30 years ago. They told me I wouldn't ever be able to ride a horse. Can you believe that? What'd you say? Here's the third one. A trap set for believers. Fear. Oh, write that down. Fear. It's still on a lot of people. I mean, Yes, the Bible says that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, soundness of mind. But people still live in fear. Why? Because that temptation's always there. We still live in the world, but not of the world, right? So when you live in this world, it's still fallen. Thank God we have a way of escaping that through Jesus. That's why you come to church. That's why you're not stagnant. That's why you don't get offensive. That's why you stay as a doer of this word constantly. You may make a mistake, but that's why we live under grace and mercy. Forgiveness, praise God. Come on, say amen to that, y'all. Thank God for grace and mercy. We might make mistakes, but we've got to keep speaking the word. Why? Because that spirit of fear is a trap to stay on you. Because fear is the opposite of faith. As a believer, we live by faith. Hebrews 14 says, I said it earlier, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence that's not seen. We have to believe in God that we cannot see. I see His results. I see His creation. But I can't see Him personally. How do I know He's there? By faith. I have this Bible, thank God. I've got what it says. But man, I can't see Jesus, my Savior. Why? Thank God they did, though. For 33 years they saw Him. It's recorded in history, praise the Lord. Okay? but he's seated at the right hand of the Father. We have to trust what this Bible says, and if you do, it'll come to pass in your life. If you doubt or have fear about what if this stuff isn't real? Well, wait a minute. Think about that, y'all. I got to come down here on this one. Think about not believing. I mean, even at his age, he's a lot smarter to believe that something had to create us. Amen. Right? Oh, thank God you didn't. You raised me. I mean, it takes way more faith to just think that all of a sudden you were just formed by a big bang or something. I mean, it doesn't make sense to think in your mind that your body is as awesomely made at a brain saying to the heart, pump, blood going through this body all the way down to the toes. Fingers that move and pick up things. The way God created us. But then, even more than that, the sun, as I've said this before, the sun that is at the perfect distance from the earth so we don't burn up. And that just happened by chance? Or doesn't it make more sense to believe in a creator? You see, I kind of like that saying that I heard. An atheist believes that nothing created something. That's kind of stupid. I apologize to everybody watching. I said the word stupid, but it's in the Bible. Right? It's kind of goofy to think that absolutely nothing created something. No, it takes more faith to believe that a creator, God Almighty, created the heavens and the earth. Do you realize that they've been trying to, scientists have tried to disprove this Bible for years and years and years and years, and they can't? If you would just believe it, it keeps coming to pass. All the things that were prophesied back in the Old Testament keep coming to pass today. Wow, it was written in the Bible. All right. Fear. You know what overcomes fear? What overcomes offense? Love. Something about it. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Say it. Say it, y'all. Perfect love casts out all fear. So it doesn't have, if you just perfect your love. I mean, no, I love you, God, with all my heart. Because when you perfect your love, you won't walk in the spirit of fear that God didn't give you. Here's the last thing, and I'll close. The fourth trap set for believers. Oh, Jesus, ready? Now I know this doesn't pertain to any of y'all, but you might know somebody. You ready? No commitment. They constantly coming back here briefing me on things. And by the way, Ron and all you people with a shredder, that's what a church does. We need people that maybe we don't, since I'm gone, you just go, what's the need here at the church? Well, shredding that pasture out there where the barrel racers parked yesterday or Friday. We had over 100 entries in a barrel racing on a Friday night. An association come in. They had over 100 exhibitions where you just work your horse. And then at 7:30 or 8, Lance knows, one of those times or 7, then they had the competition where the fastest run won. We had over 100 on a Friday night. But all that area out there, the weeds are this tall. Well, we just need help, y'all. We need a servant's heart. We need commitment to the body of Christ. Because I'm here to tell you, it's a trap when they're constantly briefing me like, we have 6 air conditioners out or 4 or whatever it is. And we're not going to do everything in debt. No, you know what I do? I'm not going to be worried about that stuff. I'm going to believe God. That's how we all have to operate in our personal lives, y'all. Having no commitment in the kingdom is a trap, I'm telling you. A lot of times they'll come to church on Easter. That's the only time. I want that one time, Easter or Christmas. Wait a minute. We got to start committing to the Word of God because Jesus committed to you. He died for you. But commitment, even to a body of believers. I mean, you get offended and you're gone for a few years sometimes. You always come back. Because we're a good church. We're good people. Forgive me if I've hurt you. I didn't mean to. It's not in my heart to hurt anybody. But by golly, I want to be committed. That's why I leave, y'all. Because the Lord won't allow me to not go out there. After this service, I came in just for this service. Well, and to buy steers. I did. But I came in for this service. Why? But you know what I got to do as soon as this service is over? I got to drive 9 hours to Abilene, Kansas. And then on Tuesday, I've got to drive to Dodge City, Kansas. And I'm going to tell those cowboys about Jesus. And then on Wednesday, I'm going to drive to Dalhart, Texas. And then on Thursday, I'm driving to somewhere else. I got it written down, I imagined. And then next week, I'm in Lovington, New Mexico. The Lord won't allow me to not do that because He knows everything's going to be done correctly right here. And we're going to keep preaching the Word of God. Why? Because I'm committed to the call of God. Don't be mad at me. I'm just committed. Well, there's something about us being committed. These guys playing up here, they are committed every single week. But you'll be amazed at the attacks on music people. Why? Well, because Satan, oh Slewfoot, oh Lucky. Satan was the best music director. He was a fantastic singer. He led worship in heaven. So there's a spirit on music people that they wear out. Not these people, they're committed. You see, there's something about being committed. Listen to what Proverbs 16:3 says. Commit your work. Commit. Say that. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. In other words, when you keep reading it, it talks about, and you'll bear fruit. Well, listen, we need to bear fruit because fruit is good for us. I want fruit in my life. I want to know that when I get to heaven, God says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did exactly what I told you to do most of the time." And I thank God because I'm going to have a crown of a soul winner, I believe, because that's where my heart is. I want to see you get saved. I pastor this church very evangelistic. I want people saved. That's why it thrilled my heart when 19 kids gave their heart to Jesus at Vacation Bible School. Thank you, Lord. You see, there's something about not falling to traps, y'all. Don't you dare be offended. Get over it. Let it go right over your head. If you walk in God's love, you won't be offended over nothing. And it doesn't matter how bad they talk about you. Try being a pastor. You will be amazed at the rumors made up about me when I started this church. The church bought my home and all my horses. I said, I wish they would have. Man, some of them were expensive. I thought, well, I don't even take a salary. How could I don't even see the money of the church. I get a report, though, and I see the givers. I pray for you. I see everybody that gives to this church. And I can't thank you how much that means. And it doesn't matter if people doesn't give. I hope you get the freedom to want to give because you believe in us. But I don't even see the money. Why would they make up that? Well, it'd been easy to get offended over that. I don't want to live in offense. And I don't want to be stagnant. That's why I keep moving. I keep going, man. My wife says, let's sit down at a restaurant. I said, we ain't got time, baby. Whataburger is faster. That's where I'm at. But you know how it is, brother. Those women got some control. She will jerk the slack out of me and say, no, you're going to sit down. Do you hear me, boy? I say, yes, ma'am. I don't want to live in fear. And I definitely not want to have, I want to have commitment. I have such a love for the Lord. I have a love for you. I apologize that I do have to leave, but I'm just committed. But when I get back, praise God, I hope you love me. I hope you want me back. I tell the people outside, I said, the church actually grows when I leave. But it grows more when I'm back.
There you go.
Well, humble yourself, right? I apologize. Love you guys very much. Bow your head and close your eyes, please. I want to leave with this. Are you born again? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? I'm talking about if you stood before God and you were done on this earth. I'm not speaking death on you. I'm just wanting you to think. You're going to stand before God one day. No matter what. And you won't stand with your family or your friends. You'll stand individually before God. The Bible calls it the Great Judgment Day. And what is God going to say when you stand before Him? Well, the reason that I'm here is I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The only way He'll say that is if you make Jesus, His Son, your Lord, your Savior. He's not a man that He can lie, so if you choose, because God gave every one of you a will. When you're a kid, you can say no to mom and dad and reap the consequences. Or you can say yes. So we try to teach them, usually with a belt, to honor mom and dad, right? I mean, it's a lot safer. But listen to me. You have a will to say no to God. And if you do, and you stand before Him, He'll have to say, depart from me. So there's a place called heaven. There's a place called hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't care how much you've talked about me or badmouthed me. I want you to go to heaven. That's just where my heart is. Is that where you're going if you leave this earth? If you don't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth, I want you to pray a prayer with me right now. All the believers in here are going to pray this prayer with you. But if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you left this earth and you died. I want you to go to heaven by asking Jesus to come into your life. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray the prayer, and I want you to repeat the prayer. When you repeat it, mean it. And we're going to pray Romans 10:9 that says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that He's Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, it uses thou in the King James, thou shalt be saved. I'm telling you, you'll bust heaven wide open if you'll make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. So that's what we're going to pray. You ready? Believers are going to pray it as well, but we're going to pray it out loud where our ears can hear it, and we're going to ask Jesus to come into our life and save us. If you've never done that, do it now with all of us. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. I believe that today I'm born again. Jesus is Lord. I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth. But I can have heaven here while I live here. So Father, help me. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand straight up. All you're saying when you raise it up is, as Jesus, I made you my Lord. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. And then just put your hand down. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, you prayed that prayer, you meant it, and you did it for the first time, get that hand up when I say three with boldness. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you, bud. Anybody else? All right, look at me. It's always an honor if anybody gives their heart to Jesus, but thank God we all have family members. Amen? So it's an honor. It's an honor. That's being a doer of the word. Amen? Did y'all have a good time? All right.